on the phone with us, and I'm very excited about this, Mr. David Pride, Montreal comedian. How are you doing, Dave?
Very good. How are you?
Good, good. And thanks for taking the time to talk to us this afternoon, David.
Yeah, no problem.
One of the reasons I really had to talk to you is I found out earlier this summer, well, as we were talking, we do know each other, to let the audience know, is that you opened for Emo Phillips at the Just for Laughs special. Now, first of all, how did that come about, and how was it working with Emo Phillips?
It was great. How it came about, I had actually done the festival last year, and usually you sort of don't do it 2 years in a row, so I wasn't expecting to do anything this summer. And then it was just a matter of just getting a sudden email of, we need someone to open for Emo Phillips, and he's seen your stuff and likes you, so he'd like to work with you. You want to work with him. And it kind of just fell in my lap like that. And, of course, I said yes, because the guy's legendary. He dates back to appearing on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson.
Yeah.
So working with him was great. He's a super nice guy, and he's, very, very weird on stage, but he's very nice off stage.
Yeah.
But, and I got to watch three shows of him, and his material's amazing, and his performance, like I said, is very, very weird, but eminently watchable, so it was a big bonus this summer.
Oh, absolutely, and he's a big fan myself, and Denon, my colleague here, we talked about it when that show was going on. We played some clips from Emo Phillips. We're all very big fans. Now, you mentioned Just for Laughs, not this year, but the year before. Now, you've done the galas in the big rooms in Place des Arts and stuff like that. As a comedian, what is it like walking on stage? There's, 2,000-3,000 people there. There's lights on. There's television cameras and everything else. What's going through your head? How does that feel walking on stage like that?
Well, that's when your brain kind of snaps into gear. It's sort of the minutes leading up to that where you're kind of milling around backstage and just like you're trying to remember your jokes and stuff, but you should know them by now, but you kind of have to just go over them again to convince yourself. And then backstage you're basically listening to the person on before you, and they're usually someone famous and amazing, so you're kind of listening to them killing it and then quickly going through your jokes in your head again. So by the time they say your name, though, then just all bets are off, and you just kind of wander out there kind of go on autopilot from there and just try to remember to enjoy the 2,000 or 3,000 people.
Yeah, and hopefully kill it, which you usually do. Now, you've traveled across Canada. What, outside of Montreal, what is your favorite city to play in to do comedy?
Oh, it's kind of a boring answer, but I mean, Ottawa's got an amazing club there.
Yeah.
I guess I just dissed Ottawa by saying how boring that answer is. But they're just great laughers there, and plus it's really close by, so it's not a big commute. But
yeah.
I haven't played a lot of cities in the States, but one that comes to mind is Appleton, Wisconsin. Mm. That's like a little gem. They had a comedy club there. I assume it's still there, called the Skyline. But that was one of my favorite places. But it's kind of a weird name to drop because no one knows much about.
Yeah, but sometimes, yeah.
I've been there, and I still don't know much about Appleton, Wisconsin. I know. The Walmart's bigger than their airport. That's all I can say about that.
Okay. Now, I wanted to get into the type of jokes you're doing. First of all, what type of jokes will you not do that you find, no, I will not cross the line on that?
Honestly, just probably just jokes that I saw someone else do 5 minutes before. I don't want to do other people's jokes, but as far as subject matter, nothing's really off limits as long as it's you can find a funny angle on it.
Yeah.
And then, of course, if you try that funny angle on an edgy joke and then it bombs, and then I guess that's the line. Once the joke is bombed in my face, then I will, on principle, not try it again, although I probably will one or two more times. But that's the limit then.
Oh, okay. Now you have kids, two very young kids, and having kids has affected your comedy. Is there conflict between being a good parent and saying some of the things that you say on stage? Is that How does that work with you in your head?
I guess as long as you don't rehearse in front of them, that's probably a good thing to steer away from. But I think it's fun because I think audiences like it, though. Like, if you sort of say, you know, you're a parent and stuff, but you're saying sort of these off-color, rude, curmudgeonly things on stage.
Yeah.
I think audiences kind of relate to that because parenting, there is a lot of, you know, you have to show a lot of responsibility and stuff, and it's nice after hours at a comedy club to just kind of tear off the veil and just say a few blunt, honest things, and it's kind of cathartic, and I think audiences like it too. Even, you know, even if you're talking about the kid, how exhausting and you know, I guess frankly annoying your family can be and stuff, it's I think audiences are kind of there with you, especially ones with kids of their own. So it's kind of a big cathartic thing. You just don't want it to get back to the kids because it might hurt their feelings.
So I guess when your kids are older, you're going to hide your CDs then.
I guess so. Well, they actually did see me on do the Winnipeg Comedy Festival on TV.
Okay.
And they were really excited, and then I started talking about them, and then it was just like this litany of that never happened. Why are you saying this? So maybe, yeah, the damage might already be done. I don't know.
Oh, okay. Well, off your CD, I did pick one of the jokes about you, about your kids that you told, and we're going to play that here in a few seconds. It's one of my favorites. And where can we see you this weekend? You're doing a club this weekend?
I'm headlining this weekend at the Comedy Nest in the Pepsi AMC Forum there on Atwater.
Okay.
And we had our first show last night, and it went great. And there's two shows tonight and two shows Saturday. So hopefully people can come out and enjoy some jokes on the long weekend.
Oh, good, good. Just tell them David sent you. There you go. David Pride, thank you very much. At the Comedy Nest this weekend, Dave, we're going to play one of your jokes right now. And break a leg this weekend. And thanks for taking the time to talk to us.
Thank you.
No, it's hard, though. No matter how good your intentions, you always screw up with the kids, right? Just, I mean, I do all the time. I was driving around with my son. We were just running some errands. It was the summertime. And running some errands, we drive past a park. And my son says, Daddy, can we please go to the park? I'm like, yeah, sure. So I pull over. I let him run out into the middle of the park. And I want to watch him play, but it's a very hot day, so I want to watch from a shady spot. Unfortunately, this particular park, the only shade available is like a little 5-foot hedge casting a little shadow. So what I did, I crouched down in the shadow and proceeded to watch my child play from the bushes. What could go wrong? And, sure enough, another family show up with their kids. Their kids run out into the middle of the park, start playing with my kid. I'm watching this from the bushes thinking, oh, that's really nice. And I come over a little bit peckish. I notice I've got some Smarties in my pocket. So I pull the Smarties out. Wouldn't you know, that's when my son notices. He's like, Daddy, what's that? He starts toddling over towards me. The other kids are curious. They start toddling after him. I'm like, great, Smarties for everyone. Yeah. That's when I realize the other family are only just now noticing me. Lurking in the shadows, luring children into the bushes with candy. And so, of course, I realize how it looks. So, of course, my first thought is like, oh, man, please let my fly be zipped up. And, right? Makes sense, right? And so I check, right? And the good news is my fly was zipped up. The bad news is the other family saw me checking, and it looked like a pervert, right? So now the dad of the group, he's up on his feet. He starts marching over towards me in a huff. And I've seen enough episodes of Curb Your Enthusiasm to know you don't talk your way out of these things. It just makes everything worse. So what I did, it was stupid, but I panicked. What I did, I picked up my kid and ran. Okay, I just grabbed him. Took off where we're parked, opened the backseat, threw him in the backseat, slammed the door. Jumped in the front seat, turned the key in the ignition, and that's when I thought, man, this really looks bad. Because it did. It looked really bad. Because I drive an ice cream truck. All I could think of doing, I just opened the backseat, pushed the kid out, yelled, catch and release, and I took it off.
Awesome.
Skåne säger